Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast brought to you by the AT Guys, your assistive technology experts. Visit ATGuys.com today for all your technology needs. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here with Greg Stilson, product and support specialist for HumanWare. And we have several new things to talk about here, including updates to the Trekker Breeze and also a new release of Keysoft 9.1 that has just been talked about a lot this week. So, Greg, welcome back to Blind Bargains.
Thanks a lot. It was we did this about a year ago here, and it's good to be back talking to you, JJ.
We did. Last year, about this time, we were talking the Apex had just been released, and we were talking about the first version of Keysoft 9 that had just come out. And now we have a pretty major update. That has just come out for Keysoft, or it's going to come out soon for Keysoft. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The upgrade is going to be launched in February. And when we were talking last time, part of our main conversation was that we had this new device, this new product that had state-of-the-art technology in it, and it was really this very thin portable device. However, we had to get Keysoft, and that's the reason I want to emphasize today, is that we had to get Keysoft, which is the reason why people buy Braille notes. You don't always buy a Braille note because it's the shiniest and the most powerful device, but you'll buy it because it's got Keysoft on it, or you'll use it because it's got Keysoft. Keysoft is that interface that makes everything so simple and so straightforward and simple to use. Well, in this case, we have this state-of-the-art technology and this thin design, and we had to make sure that Keysoft was functional and powerful enough to optimize or to take advantage of this hardware. And so Keysoft 9.0 was basically Keysoft 8.0, but for that extra hardware or for that more powerful platform.
Sure.
And now it's exciting to be able to launch a version that really brings this device to where it should be. We've done a number of things, taking advantage of the wireless capability and the speed of the device, things like that. I guess we did a press release on Monday about this, or not a press release, but we did a presentation with, we announced it, I guess you want to say, with Accessible World.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing we want to talk about, obviously, is going to be the word support. I demonstrated, and JJ, if you want, I can demonstrate it again.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Talking about working with tables and more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in the past, we've had a table mode when you're using KeyWeb. KeyWeb is the internet browser, and you'd find tables on the internet and things like that, and there was a special table mode that allowed you to go through each individual cell on the table.
Mm-hmm.
To make it easier. But in the past, we, with Microsoft Word, we've had, and Microsoft Word, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, has been an issue for Braille notes since day one. We've had frustrations with certain documents. You'd have to do several workarounds where you'd have to save the file as a WordPad document, mm-hmm. or you'd have to save it as an RTF file, something like that. And then it would work on the Braille note, but if you brought it back to the computer, did some modifications, et cetera, then you'd have that frustration again. And so that was our number one priority, is making sure that the DOC, the DOC standard that is still the most popular standard in the world, we wanted to make sure that that was solid. And in the process of making sure that's solid, we were able to do some really cool things that in Braille is not always the easiest to portray, and that is to portray these format indicators and this advanced formatting. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up a document that I showed on Monday, which is I just put a quick document together to kind of show the different format capabilities that now we can bring in with a Word document. So if I'm at the main menu, and I'm going to go to Word Processor,
Word menu.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to open up a document.
Folder name, present. Document KS91 word support examples.doc.
So there's, you heard it, it was a .doc file. I'm going to open it up.
Review previous options.
Ask me if I want to review the options. What this question means is that, do I want to look at it as a Word document, or do I want to convert it into Braille? And in this case, I'm just going to look at it as an original Word document. So imagine that a professor or a teacher emails you a document with some tables and
sure.
things like that. In the past, you would have to save that on a computer, do some modifications to it, and then bring it over to your Braille. Now we can actually go in and open it up. So I'm going to say no to review the options.
So it's going to pop in grade 1 or?
It opens up. Actually, you can only in a Microsoft Word document, you can only edit it. If you're going to edit the original document without converting it into Braille, you can edit it in computer Braille.
Okay.
But you can read it. You can set your reading grade to be grade 2, which is pretty fantastic. So
okay.
I'm at the top of the
document. Center line.
Okay, so the first thing I want you to hear is that it said top of document center line. Now, I have my punctuation level. You can set it to 1 to 5, just like you can with other screen readers.
Right.
In this case, you have to be set on at least punctuation level 3 to hear any of these indicators.
So punctuation level kind of equates to a formatting verbosity.
Exactly,
level.
Exactly. So yep, exactly. So I'm at the top.
Top of document, center line.
So I hear center line.
He's on 9.1.
Okay, and if I actually go through and look at the Braille in this... in this top heading here, I see center line with an EDC symbol. And I see a bold on indicator, which is EDFB, which is stands for font bold. Okay.
Wow, this takes. They were using those back on the all the way back to the first Braille.
So absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So we kind of take a page. We figure if it wasn't broke, why fix it in that situation? So we have to find, because we have a number of people, and I would actually venture to say the majority of Braille Note users do not use the speech.
Mm-hmm.
I do some tech support and things like that, and the number of people I run into a lot of people that don't even know how to turn the speech on, to be honest with you. And so we had to find a way to emulate the font and the formatting just in Braille without giving that speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you're going to see these indicators come into play. Okay, so then I'm going to go to the next line.
Indent signal 1-1, tag to improve word support.
Okay, so it said indent, and I think I accidentally bumped a single quote there, but it says indent 1. Now what this is emulating here is this is showing you the numbering feature, the auto-numbering feature. So what I did is I created just a numbered list that where you have all those auto numbers come
right.
in, and it does the formatting for you, where it indents it a couple cells and then puts the numbers there. So I'm going to keep going down.
So, tag 1, we are testing the auto number capability. 3, tag 1, this appears to be working.
Okay, so you hear it say 3, tab 1, telling you that it's indented, tabbed, and it's just showing you the numbers.
1 as in this, it's tabbed once?
Yes, tabbed in once.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm going to keep scrolling down. Now we're going to get into another section of formatting.
Bullet. Red. Bullet, milk, bullet.
So I'm just doing a
bulleted list.
Bulleted list, exactly. And the bullets actually show up as, I think it's the same in if you're using a standard Braille display in JAWS or whatever, but it's a, looks like a CH symbol and then two IN signs.
That's the standard Braille.
If you want to take a look at it.
Let's see here.
Right there.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
CH and IN, mm-hmm. IN. It's the standard
Braille
2... sign, I believe.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So we're not reinventing the wheel or anything like that. So I'm going to keep going down. And what's kind of cool about it is that if you don't know what the actual symbol is, because some people have never seen these symbols before, if you
right.
actually touch your router key on that symbol,
mm-hmm.
it'll expand it and actually write out what it is. So, like, for instance, if I expand it now, here, you can take a look.
Okay.
That
says bullet.
It actually says bullet to tell you what it is. So just like Keysoft has always been, we want to make it as simple as possible for the user to understand what's going on and what commands to use. So just like you can always press space with H to get help, the same thing kind of applies if you tap that router key on each of those symbols. So
does it know the different types of bullets, or is it a bullet's a bullet?
A bullet's a bullet because in Windows Mobile or Windows CE, that's all they can handle. There's no
sure.
more.
You don't have 50 different kinds.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I'm going to keep going down.
Table,
okay, so what you heard there is one of the thing that I'm most excited about is the indent table. It tells you that this table is indented, so it's obviously tabbed in 1, and then it said indent table row 1. Now what I can do, what I was saying before, is I can actually position myself inside this table. I'm going to put my cursor. Now if you just hear, if I'm just reading in standard mode, I'm just going to keep pressing my dot 4 chord or dot 1 chord,
right.
And you can hear...
Indent table start table row 1. Indent of table cell 1, red end of table cell 2, indent of table cell 3, total end of table cell 4.
Okay, so what that did is it read the whole first line or first row of my
right.
table all at once. It was a lot of information. So let's say I don't want to do that. Now what I did is I just created a small table here. It looks like a check registry or something like that, just saying credit,
mm-hmm.
debit, and whatever else. So, but I'm going to actually position myself in the table, so I'm going to put myself on the date cell up at the top. Those are my headings.
Okay.
And now if I press a space bar and letter M, that's going to cycle through my reading modes. So I have
Sentence and paragraph, reading both.
Sentence and paragraph, which is your standard if you're just reading a document.
Sure.
Line, reading both.
Uh-huh. Line, typically a lot of people like to write lists, make lists of things. That's obviously useful there.
Column, reading both.
Column, if you're using a bunch of tabs and things like that. And then the new one,
table reading mode.
Is table reading mode. So this was available when we were using KeyWeb and you're using the tables. So now, spacebar.4 and spacebar.1 will cycle you forward or back through
can
the cells.
Can I find out what current cell position I'm in? Or
you can. If I look on my Braille display or if I press my spacebar in .2 or spacebar in .5,
end of table cell 3, total, end of table cell 4.
So it actually tells you where you are. It'll say table cell 4. It does not tell you the row, but I can get that by going all the way over to the left, or if I move up or down, it'll tell me.
Right,
so now, if I want to go down, let's say I want to look at my totals. So what is my actual bank total? I can move down now in this total column and see what I have here. So,
end of table cell 4.
Oops, I'm in the wrong spot.
$2,100.
What did you press for
$3,300.
That?
I'm pressing spacebar in 5-6 or spacebar in 2-3 to go up a cell in a column.
Okay.
$2,300.
Okay. So, I mean, it's a very simple idea, but it's simple or not, it's something that was never available in the past, and that's something that that is pretty powerful now. If you get a Word document and it does have tables, bullets, and numbering, et cetera, you now have that capability to look at these cells and tables and things like that. The last thing I want to highlight here is at the end.
Bottom of document. Land.
I'm at the bottom of the document. I put a couple things.
For access to books from Bookshare, navigate to links on www.bookshare.org.
Okay, so what it said is to access Bookshare books, link starts www.bookshare.org. Link
it's clickable.
Exactly. So if I tap this.
Press enter for http://www.bookshare.org.
So the exciting part now is that we actually can connect our applications. So I can click on this, it opens up KeyWeb, and if I had an internet connection here, I would be able to, at that point, go right to Bookshare just by pressing enter.
Sure. Okay. Does that work for email addresses too, or just...
So now, I'm going to go back in there.
Does that work for email addresses too, or...
That's what I'm doing right now. So I'm going to go back to the bottom of the document.
For assistance, send an email to...
Okay, so you heard the link. I'm going to click that.
Document was modified. No, one, sent to supportatnewinware.com.
Okay, so it opens up Keymail right then and there. You got an open message, just like you would have with Outlook if you ever clicked on
and
it.
And I see it, there is a protection, it looks like, if just in case you made changes to your
document.
Exactly.
Yep, I jumped over that real quick. But yes, if you have made changes because we are exiting out of the word process.
Right, multitask.
Right, not quite yet. But at this point, you do have the capability to save your document if you go in and go to an email link or something like that. So
you talked a lot about reading documents. How much capability is there to actually do doc creation in Key?
As of right now, we still have, because the Windows CE platform is a very, very simple word processor, we were doing a heck of a lot more with the word processor than we ever thought we could ever do. However, writing in these formats, advanced formatting, as you were saying, there's not 100 different types of bullets and things like that, heading levels and such. But what you can do is you can do the standard things that you would need to do in a document, like bolding, italicizing, centering, tabbing, justification, left justified, right justified. So you can do all the things that are necessary to write a very professional document.
Sure.
It's just when you get into that extra, we cannot create tables. That would be pretty frustrating.
When you go to save it, is it going to be in doc or is it going to be in a different format?
If I were to edit this document and just make some modifications or whatever, you heard it. It's a document has been modified. Do you want to save this as a keyword document?
Right.
Keyword, remember, is your Braille version of that document. If you say no, it's just going to overwrite the existing doc file. At that point, you can then send it back to a coworker or to whatever, and they'll still have a standard doc file to look at. So we're pretty happy with this. We've I've opened more documents than I ever thought I'd ever open to do the testing in this. So it's
I'm sure people are sending you the craziest files they can find now.
We actually had a writer who was writing manuscripts. She sent me a 525-page document, I believe it was, and this thing opened it. It took a little bit of time to open, but it opened, and it was perfect when I opened it up. So
if it runs into something that it can't handle, say like a form control or something advanced that you just can't deal with it, what does it do? Will it still open the document, or
it'll open the document? It'll open the document, but I believe it regards like, for instance, a graphic. One thing I don't have in here is that if we actually import a document that has a graphic with an alt tag attached to it, it'll actually read the alt tag to you.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty slick. But as for like things that are not alt tagged, or if they have if there's a chart or a pie graph or something like that, it's going to skip over it and just bypass it. But it will open the document. So
does it do anything with footnotes, endnotes, things like that? Yeah.
Not as of right now. Endnotes, because they're not actually technically part of the documents, they're outside of the document range. It doesn't see them yet.
Right. Wanted to give you a chance to clarify. I know initially there was some talk of supporting DLCX, and I noticed that didn't make it into this release. What's the plan for that?
The plan is, as you saw, there's some pretty advanced capabilities now that we have with HTML content in a Microsoft Word document. The number one priority in this release was to get the doc standard working, because yes, DOCX is popular, and that's something that's becoming more popular, but the DOC standard is still what the vast majority of the world is using. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure, because this has been such an issue that has been around the Braille Note and plaguing the Braille Note for so long, I can say that with honesty, that I've used a Braille Note for 10 years, and I remember going through in my college and university days of going through all those workarounds, and it was a true pain, and we're very, very happy to say that that's a thing of the past now. So we wanted to make sure the foundation for Microsoft Word was available. Once that foundation is there, it's definitely high on our priority list to make sure that DOCX is coming, but I can't guarantee when that's going to happen or where that is on the priority list. I don't make those decisions, but
sure.
The Microsoft Word, the DOC standard, was by far our priority, and we're pretty happy to say that not only did we accomplish that, but we accomplished it with some extras included. So,
sure, definitely. Also, in addition to the DOC support, it looks like the network support has become more enhanced and perhaps simplified.
From a tech support standpoint, JJ, that makes me a very, very happy man.
Sure.
So, in the past, and for Keysoft 9.0 and any of the MPower platforms, you have to answer a lot of questions to connect to a network, to connect successfully. So, when I connect to a network with the existing platform, with the existing Braille Note and software, you have to go in, you have to scan for the network, mm-hmm. you have to give the profile, the connection profile, a name, which is good. You want to know if it's your home or your work profile, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you also then have to answer whether you want to use certain authentication, whether you want to use... there's like three or four questions there that are always remaining at the default. I've worked here for almost 5 years, and I don't ever remember changing these settings one time.
Right.
So we omitted them now. You also, in the past, had to know exactly what kind of security protocol you're connecting with. Is it WEP? Is it WPA? Is it WPA2? Are they using AES encryption? Are they using TKIP encryption? All these things that...
Yeah, a lot of things you're just not going to know.
Exactly.
Even advanced users.
Your average user, and like you said, some of your advanced users, we have teachers running all over the place trying to find their IT person going, are we using AES encryption? So yeah. It was frustrating. I mean, once you knew that information, it would connect and you'd be fine. But the process, it was very much a process. And that was probably our number one tech support call was how do I get connected to the internet? So I'm very, very happy to say that that's a thing of the past. If I go to the options
menu, connectivity menu,
and do wireless.
Wireless Ethernet on, currently yes.
I'm going to hit enter.
Wireless Ethernet menu.
If I scan...
List of available connections.
Okay, so I pressed S to scan. It gives me a list of the connections.
Mm-hmm.
One, SSID, Tower 2.
So there's the Tower 2 connection here at the Carib Royale. If I press Enter.
Entry list for connection configurations.
I'm going to press Space.
Connection configuration name, currently Tower 2.
Okay, the first thing is it says the connection configuration name. That is your profile name. Now, in the past, you'd name it to be whatever you wanted it to be, and you can still do that. If I don't want it to be called Tower 2, I can call it Hotel or whatever I want. But the next thing...
Obtain an IP address automatically, currently yes.
Is That's a meaning that is it automatically going to assign you an IP address? We needed to leave that in there. A lot of people may not know what that means, but if you don't, just leave it the way it is. And the reason we did this is to emulate what your computer does. When you connect to the computer, when you connect your laptop up to a wireless network,
mm-hmm.
all you see is you see the wireless network name, you click on it, and you type in your password to get on. And
yep.
if there is no password, it just goes. And the first thing you notice here is it automatically at that point, after it said Tower 2, it didn't ask me any password things or anything like that. That's because there is no password on this connection.
Sure.
Okay? So I'm done. That's it. I looked in. I double-checked my profile name. I exit out.
Exit. Access record.
And I say yes. And at that point, I can get on the internet. And I can... Now, obviously, I would have to... I think it's... You have to purchase the internet here or something like that. So... but in this case, I now have in my connection... Now you'll see when I scan... And this Tower 2 connection fluctuates in and out for me.
Yeah, it's a little unstable.
Yeah, it's gone out for temporarily. And I was having the same problem with my laptop last night when I was trying to get it.
Oh, you still have the same problem, you know, portable device versus a laptop. The wireless chip isn't... Is it going to pick up networks as good as a laptop always will? Or?
You know, I was looking last night. I got back late, and I was checking my email on my iPhone,
mm-hmm.
and the iPhone, it would drop in and out. So I don't know how much stronger this is
right.
than the iPhone.
So at least compared to a mobile device,
exactly,
it's on par.
I would say it's comparable. Absolutely.
Sure.
So. So now we have that capability. The other thing that's, in my opinion, something that is a no-brainer, but it's pretty powerful when you do it, is that this functions just like a PC now. When you plug in an Ethernet cable into
mm-hmm.
the back, it automatically just gets you online. You don't have to go in and create a separate profile called Ethernet connection. I think we're pretty sure that if I'm going to plug in an Ethernet cable, I'm going to want to use it. And so we just automatically now connect to
Assuming
it.
Assuming the IP address is assigned automatically.
Exactly.
I guess if it's static, you'd have to go in.
You'd have to go punch that in, exactly.
Yeah.
But in most situations, it's going to be DHCP or assigned to you automatically.
In that case, you probably are knowing what you're doing anyway.
Exactly, yep. So that's something simple that we wanted to include. And, you know, part of what I wanted to highlight with this version is that a lot of the modifications we made... Keysoft is a very simple interface. It's something that we're very proud of, and it's something that continues to gain in popularity. But we wanted to take that interface and take the positives from Keysoft and combine the positives from a PC and make the interface better, and I really think that that's what we've done, especially with this networking stuff. This is we took something that was typically sort of difficult in Keysoft, and we took the positives from a PC and made it much easier in Keysoft. So.
Sure. You ever look at the possibility, and I've asked this question before, about using 3G cards, things like that? Or
you know, we're not sure of the capability quite yet and connecting with air cards and things like that. One thing that I can say works is if you've ever heard of MiFi devices,
mm-hmm.
This does work quite well with the MiFi devices. So if you need to use 3G or 4G service and you do have that capability... We have one of the product specialists here that has one.
Sure, MiFi is that basically one of those routers that allows you
it's,
to
essentially, yeah, it's
yeah.
a little tiny portable box that has a SIM card in it, I believe.
Yeah,
and
allows you to share the cell phone connection.
Exactly. Yep. So you're no longer restricted to just one device, but you can connect, you know, 2-3 computers
sure.
to it. So, as we don't have the capability quite yet for air cards, the MiFi is definitely a valuable alternative.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You can password protect your Brono?
You sure can, absolutely. If I go to
Utilities menu,
and I space down,
menu.
I went to the end of the menu.
Security.
We now have a new option called Security.
Mm-hmm.
Login prompt setup listed. Enable password protection, currently no.
Okay, so I'm going to press Y for yes.
Enter password, computer brain is required.
6 to 8 characters, I believe, I'm sorry, more than 6 characters.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that 6 to 8 originally, too.
Confirm password. Computer Braylon. Confirm changes. Yes, your device is now protected with a password. Main menu.
Okay, so I'm going to switch it off.
All right.
Enter password. Main menu.
There you go. So.
What if you put the wrong password in there?
It just yells at you.
Can you keep doing that forever?
I'm going to double check on that, to be honest with you.
Right.
Enter password. Let's see.
Invalid password. Invalid password. Enter password.
We might be here all night.
Enter password.
Yeah, I'm thinking you can continue to go and keep trying.
But if you see someone is counting on a brain line entering your password
exactly.
for 5 hours.
It may be a dead giveaway, I don't know.
Huh.
But a lot of questions arise of what do we do if we lock ourselves out of our Braille note,
will be the new tech support call that you're going to get now.
Yeah, it's going to be a new one, but it's something that is valid. People lock themselves out of their computer and things like that. And so if you do end up locking yourself out of your Braille note, what you'll do is you'll call tech support, and you'll have to prove who you are, obviously. We can't just give passwords away or give security keys to anybody, but... you'll give us a serial number of your device, you'll give us identification, and then once that's done, we'll email you a unlock code that you just simply pop onto a thumb drive, an SD card.
Will you only email it to the email address on the account? Or?
We'll email it to whoever is in charge of the account. So if it's registered to you, the first thing that I would do is make sure that if you get it through, let's say, Voc Rehab or something like that, make sure that your name is on the registration of your Braille note, because otherwise there may be a bit of a delay in your counselor or whoever getting you the passcode. So, but it's part of... I know that there's cell phone companies that if you lock yourself out of your cell phone and you can't get into it, they'll make you send your cell phone back and reflash the firmware. So we don't want to go quite to that extreme. So this is, a valuable alternative.
Sure. Well, and probably the importance of keeping your registration data updated, especially, say, if you were to buy one used in the future.
Absolutely. Yep.
And next thing you know, you're locked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful tool. It's more for, and like I said, this is something that's optional. And if you don't need it to be password protected, I'm going to say that if somebody picks up a Braille note off the street, they're going to have no idea what to do with it. So, you know, we do have people using these in
for like at a school for the blind or something. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. If there's a lot of people that know how to use these, you may want to lock yourself and things like that. But especially if you're in a corporation that really they need this protection, they need this security. That's pretty much our means behind writing this capability in there is we have a lot of people using Braille notes in corporations and professionals. Sure. So,
what's the cost for this?
For the upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part, JJ, is anybody who got an Apex, that this is a free update. So it is the first SMA count upgrade. So when you got your Apex, you got a free SMA with it. And so there's going to be a new process. What you're going to do is you'll go on our new SMA website, and you'll punch in your serial number, you'll punch in your device, and the email address that you want authorized to this account. And once that's done, you'll get a list of keys that are assigned to your account. So, for instance, if I have an Apex and I have two SMAs or two upgrades available, you get keys for both of those upgrades. And you can choose which key to download. And like I said before, it's just a small little key file that you pop onto a thumb drive and you hit reset.
Mm-hmm. The kid in the hallway loves it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure if the recorder's picking that up.
He's excited about the Apex.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I think what he's trying to ask, there's definitely been some questions. Empower users were promised two upgrades back when the Apex came out. So what are we looking at for the future of Empower?
This was our priority. We wanted to make sure that the Apex platform was strong and going forward. I am not aware at this time of where those upgrades stand. My personal position in the company has been on the R&D side of the Apex, so
okay.
I can't speak to that because I don't know any dates or situations.
So it won't be coming out in tandem with this?
No, it's not. This is an Apex only.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, for you audiophobes, we just switched recording devices. You always love it when stuff dies and right in the middle of the interview. But we want to talk about a couple more things on the Braille note before we move on to the Trekker Breeze, especially talking about Braille display support.
Yeah, definitely. So the Apex now in this next version will support JAWS 12. We'll have the capability for both the QWERTY and the Braille version to not only receive Braille from JAWS, but also do the keyboard input as well. So we'll have the grade 2 support when inputting into a computer. And you'll also have keyboard emulation with the QWERTY version as well. So we're pretty excited about that, and we'll now be able to use your Braille notes as a Braille display, the Apex as a display, with whether you're using Window Eyes, with JAWS, or with Mac VoiceOver as well. So we're pretty excited to have that kind of multi-platform support.
Sure. NVDA?
NVDA is not there yet. We don't have a driver for it. So
sure.
But for the three major screen readers out there, we're pretty excited to have that available.
It works with the Mac. Does it work with iOS?
It does, absolutely. Yep, we can. I have an iPhone myself, and I send quite a few text messages and type in a lot of emails using the Apex as my input. So you can connect up with the Bluetooth connection and control your entire iOS device.
Mm-hmm. Anything else new in KeySoft 9.1 that I missed?
The one thing that I know people are going to be really excited about, a couple things, is we now have the capability to and we had it before, but this is another enhancement to the interface, is in the file manager now you have the capability to unzip and zip files or unzip and zip folders. So if a professor sends you a zip package of a few files, you can now unzip that right on your Apex and vice versa. And with that unzipping capability, we now have the capability to listen to the National Library Service books as well, which we're very excited to bring. Those books that Ustream users and people who have listened to the National Library Service books on the portable devices like that now can also use your Apex to listen to them as well.
Sure, as well as EPUB and a couple of the other
EPUB and Audible Enhanced is another format.
I assume unprotected EPUB, just like everybody else.
Sure.
Okay. All right. There was a pretty major upgrade for the Trekker Breeze that was released probably about a month ago. Version 2.0, and it looks like you have one there.
Yeah, yep, I'm just powering it on here.
It's a coincidence.
Got all kinds of toys in here. So we've got a Trekker Breeze. This is another free upgrade that we're offering. The Breeze has been out since 2008, and it was a device that did get some flack when it was first launched.
What is this thing? Oh, that your Breeze talking?
That was my Breeze.
Oh, okay.
Jay is all paranoid about batteries running out now. So we launched the Breeze in 2008, and it did receive some flack when it was first released. There was some frustrations for lack of different capabilities, but it was also a very different device than had previously been available to blind users.
Very simplistic.
Very, very simplistic, and that wasn't on accident. We wanted to make sure that this device is something that anybody can pick up and use within 15 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. We had the Trekker that has been discontinued, and the Trekker Pro system was a great system. I used it on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but you had to really spend some time with it to be able to use it at potential. And it also was at times not the most stable device. You'd run into situations where you'd have to reset it and things like that. So the Breeze has 9 buttons. Those of you who have never heard of a Breeze, it's an all-in-one GPS device. The receiver is built right into the device, so you no longer have to mess around with Bluetooth connections and things like that. And it's only got 9 buttons. And all of these buttons have only one or two functionalities. You can either tap them or hold them, which the real positive with that is that everything can be operated with one hand. So myself, I'm a cane user. When I'm walking around, if I don't want to be standing on a corner to have to punch in Control Shift, G or whatever on my keyboard to do different commands and things like that. Everything can be operated with one hand on the Breeze, and with the 2.0 upgrade, that is not something that we're changing. The interface, the simplicity. We're bringing a lot of features to the 2.0, but these features are not going to be in-your-face features. They're things that if you want them, you can use them. But the interface of the Breeze is still that very, very simplistic device.
So a lot of it brought about because of the Trekker being discontinued and having to work those features into the Breeze now.
Exactly. Yeah. With it discontinued, there's and quite honestly, with this device, it was always in our roadmap to bring these features down. But once the Trekker got discontinued and things like that, people need a device that's going to be comparable. But we wanted to really improve on the Trekker, take the things that didn't go well or that were frustrating mm-hmm. with the Trekker and really improve on them. And so with the Breeze now, we've had three versions. The initial launch version, which was 1.0,
mm-hmm.
We just launched the 1.2, I want to say last April or something like that. And the capabilities or the changes that made were a new synthesizer. We did a lot of tests with veterans administrations, with O&M teachers, and with consumers. And one of the things that they mentioned was that the voice on the Breeze was very difficult to understand. So we were happy to bring two new voices to it, very very much louder and much easier to hear. But we also brought the capability to not only go to your landmarks that you create now, but you can use a What's the Round feature to browse 5 miles around you and select any of those destinations to go to. So that was something that in the past, when the Breeze first was launched, you had to have already been to a location and
sure.
marked it, and
mm-hmm.
then it would give you the turn-by-turn instructions. But don't get me wrong, a lot of people, and myself included, I just did it. We have a HumanWare suite here that we had some meetings at yesterday. I had no idea where that suite was, but I got directions and I walked there. And when I walked there, when I was out in front of it, I marked it because I know that I'm going to have to go back there later on. And that's still a very, very valuable feature for everybody. And that's the simplest of simplest features. We're not changing that. We're not changing the way you've used your Breeze in the past. We're modifying it so that you can do more with it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the 2.0 version, the most important part is, in my opinion, the most important part is going to be entering in an address. So just like your Garmin's, just like your other GPS devices that you've used, you can now enter in an address and go there. And the nice thing about it is that since we only have 9 buttons in this device, we had to develop some sort of way to do this. And
right.
I figured if cell phones can type in entire documents with 9 buttons or whatever they got, we can do the same. So it's very similar to the texting keypad. The real positive thing is, since it's not always the fastest process, you can do it when you don't have a GPS connection. So if I'm sitting at home and I know that I need to go to the grocery store later on or
you
whatever.
You just look up the address online or
exactly.
however you get it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I can punch it in. And as soon as I get GPS reception, then I can go. So I'm going to do that now quickly. So the way that you enter in an address is no different than the way you get to that address, those address prompts is no different than the way you used to go to a destination. So if I had a landmark that I had created, like if I wanted to go back to that HumanWare suite, I would hit the bottom right button, I would hold that down for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Select a landmark as your destination. 8 landmarks.
Okay, so now I have all my landmarks that I've created in there. And I can cycle through. You will hear my voice speaking different landmarks. But if I hit the left arrow to cycle back to the bottom of the list,
enter an address.
Here, enter an address. Okay, and if I press the Enter key,
select a state. 4 states. Florida.
Okay.
So those are the states you have loaded.
Yeah, I have Florida, Illinois, Wisconsin, and one more. So in this case, it automatically selects the last state that you used, because most of the time you're going to remain in the same place.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to choose Florida.
Enter city name, Orlando.
Okay, it says enter city name, Orlando. So Orlando obviously was the last place that I punched something in. But let's say that I didn't, so I want to type in Orlando, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we have 9 buttons on the Breeze, 3 in the top, 3 in the middle, and 3 in the bottom. And picture them as your telephone keypad. So starting from the top left, it goes 1, 2, 3. Center is 4, 5, 6.
Yep.
Bottom left, 7, 8, 9. And the 9 also functions as the 0. The way that you enter in addresses is you hold the button until you hear the letter you want. So for instance, 6 is your MNO. So if I'm going to type Orlando,
M-N-O.
And release. OK? Okay.
Gotcha. So you don't press it three times. You just do a hold.
Exactly. And that's part of the one-handed operation. It was easier when you're walking to be able to hold something than it is to repeatedly tap it. Mm-hmm. We did some tests on that, and that was the general consensus. So O-R...
P. Q. R.
You look at making that an option to do it either way, or...
J.
No, it's only holding.
K.
Okay.
L.
O-R-L-A.
Two...
A.
Now, that's all I need, okay? Just like your Garmin's and your other devices, I only need to type in the first few letters and hit enter.
Two cities. Orlando metro area.
Remember
Orlando.
There's Orlando. I right arrowed to it, and I'm going to just press enter.
Enter street name.
Okay, enter street name. World
Center.
Something. Yeah, world. So, 9.
W. X. Y.
Now, I skipped over W, okay? So I missed it. And now, rather than holding the left arrow to get my letters, I just tap it.
Delete. Y.
Okay. And I just do W.
If you kept holding it, would it cycle back around?
W.
Yes, it would. Absolutely. Okay. That's a great question. Yep. If I kept holding it, it would just cycle right back around. W-O.
M. N. O.
P-Q-R.
P. Q. R.
And I'll do L.
J. K.
L. There'll be a few World Streets running, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll probably end up with SeaWorld or something.
Yeah.
We'll see. So I hit enter, it's searching.
10 streets.
10 streets.
New World Crescent. R. SeaWorld Boulevard. SeaWorld Drive.
There it is.
There's
SeaWorld Drive. Got it.
Trans World Drive. World Center Drive.
There it is,
World Center Drive. So I hit enter.
Enter civic number.
Okay, and now you just use your numbers, so you have to cycle through. I'm doing 8.
T.
What do they call it? That's not an address number.
V.
Civic number.
Eight. Civic number.
Yep, civic number.
It's a new term.
Yep. We use the Breeze not only in the U.S. here, but all over the world, and so there. I guess that's the terminology in other places is the civic number. So what is it, 8101?
Yeah.
8-1-1. 0, so I'm going to cycle through WXYZ0.
W. X, Y, Z, 9, 0.
Release, and 1.
1.
And enter. 1 only has certain functions, so 2 is obviously ABC. 1 is a lot of your special characters, your period, your apostrophe, things like that, I believe. So I'm going to hit enter.
8,101. Landmark 8101 World Center DR created.
Okay.
No GPS coverage. Cannot guide you to created landmark.
Okay, so what it said is that we've created it, we now have it there, but we don't have a GPS connection. So once I have a GPS connection, I would go to the go-to button, bottom right.
Mm-hmm.
Select a landmark as your destination.
I'm going to left arrow.
Enter an address.
So there's the enter an address prompt.
Sure.
If I left arrow again, I'm going to get the last landmark that I created.
8101 World Center DR.
And there you go.
Can you name that, or is it stuck as the address?
Right now, it's stuck at the address. That's something we're looking at for the future, is taking the capability of Oh, I take it back. JJ, you're absolutely right. No, what I can do is, I'll quickly do this, go into my settings.
Settings. 7 items. Landmarks.
There's landmarks as one of the options. If I press enter...
Landmark selection.
I'm going to press left.
8101 World Center DR.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to press enter.
Landmark settings. 3 items. Rename landmark.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Record new landmark name.
Oh, it's audio.
Carib Royale Hotel.
Landmark recorded. Your landmark has been renamed successfully. Explore.
Now every time I hit that, rather than hearing 8101 World Center Drive, it's my voice speaking.
Gotcha. So you can rename it with a voice recording.
Exactly.
Kind of like the original tracker.
Exactly. Yep. So we're really excited to bring that capability there. You saw it's not exactly the most speediest of process, and that's why we made the capability to be able to do it without a GPS reception as well. But I've actually done it while I'm walking. If I all of a sudden get an address or something like that, you can do it. So.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Couple other things we brought to it. There's a pedometer now that will keep track of how much you walk. So from the time that it gets GPS reception, it'll start keeping track of how far you go, along with your speed, et cetera, et cetera. It also keeps track of how long you've been walking. So
Right. That's nice for people who want to get some exercise and want to walk for X number of times. That works out really well. So, the backtrack feature has been improved so that not only do you have the capability to backtrack when you start walking or get a GPS reception, it automatically starts recording every step that you take. Mm-hmm. And the backtrack just basically reverses the route or reverses your process back to where you started. The problem is that if people use the backtrack before, they would get into a restaurant, they'd shut your breeze off, and then away goes your backtrack.
Right.
So you now have the capability to choose the backtrack that you okay. that you had currently or the one you had previously as well. So that's there. And then the final thing I want to talk about is for those PC users who want to import a lot of addresses. For instance, if I know that there's certain commercial places out there, I think Outback Steakhouse is one of them, that on their website they have what's called a GPX file of all their locations right. across the U.S. And what you can do is you can import GPX files as extra landmarks or points of interest into your device with the computer so that you can basically create your own database.
And there's websites where you can create them.
Exactly.
Programs where you can create those files.
Exactly, yep. And so what we did is we, in our new Trekker Map Manager in the user guide, we list a couple websites that you can use there. That allow you to enter in addresses, and it'll create a GPX file. The nice thing about that is that you don't have to then rename the address. You can type in whatever you want that address to be called, and it'll import it right into your GPS. We use the actual Google Maps to do that. So
sure, this update is free.
Yeah, absolutely, yep.
So for anybody who's bought a Breeze since it's been out,
it really changes the way that the Breeze has been used. And I always say that this is it's been a great product, but I think that now it really brings it to fruition. It completes what the Breeze can do for you.
Sure.
So it's and I use the Breeze since day one, but it was one of those situations. I went to a restaurant that I had never been to, and I had never walked that route before. In the past, when you were using the Breeze, you never could do that because you had to have been to that location to know where it was. Now I just punch in the address to that restaurant, and away you go. So it's pretty powerful what you can do with it.
Sure. There's been some talk of improvement as far as finding a fix of your location. And there were rumors going around the GPS chip itself. Has that changed at some point since the original release? Or
I haven't heard of whether that's been done or not. I'm not involved in that part of the process, but I think that in our very, very, very early prototype models, I'm not sure if it was actually with any of the ship ones, we did modify some chip functionality, but I'm not sure if that actually made it into the shipping version or
sure.
not. If you are having some issues, though, with your GPS reception and things like that, definitely call our customer or our tech support line, mm-hmm. and they can actually analyze that. And The biggest thing with the Breeze is there's some tricks to making it work. This is very different than other GPS chips in that it gets a fix when you're standing still, not when you're moving.
Right.
So if you walk outside, you're not going to get a fix nearly as fast if you're moving. So what I always tell people is if you're going to be going out, turn the Breeze on and put it by a window. And it's sitting still, it's going to get a GPS reception. Once it has a fix, even if you lose reception, it's going to gain the fix so much faster. Okay, so mm-hmm. step one is leave it still. Don't go. I mean, if you have to go, it will get a fix, obviously, but it's going to take longer. The other thing is that when you charge the Breeze, charge it by a window, because it has the functionality of actually getting a GPS reception sure. while it's charging. And so that's a big benefit as well. Don't constantly reset the Breeze. Some people will get a GPS reception for 10 seconds and they'll reset it, and then the whole process is going to start
right.
over again. So
sure.
that's another thing. And the last thing is if you go between states or haven't used the Breeze for a long time, it is going to take longer, sometimes up to five to seven minutes.
And that's true with most GPS.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, it's got to calibrate to your new location. And so it's don't get frustrated with it. It is in most of those situations functioning just fine. If you're going 15, 20 minutes without a reception, though, definitely give us a call, and we can analyze that from there. So
Sure. I noticed they didn't slip you a version of the Breeze with a cappella voices on it.
No, no. No. We have, I call it Samantha 2.0 is what we got on this.
Right.
So
those are coming, though, to at least some of the products.
The
a cappella voices.
Are they?
There was a press release that came out on Wednesday that HumanWare signed an agreement with a cappella.
Oh, I missed it. You're one step up on me. That's outstanding if it is. I'll have to talk to my coworkers on that.
I know the Breeze and the stream was mentioned for sure. I don't know if it's the capabilities are there for the Brown outline, but it'd be interesting to see how that develops.
Absolutely, sure. Absolutely. And with the new Apex, you know, if we have this updated memory and capability like that, that'd be fantastic if that came down the pipe.
Sure. People want to get a hold of HumanWare, what's the best way to do that?
Toll-free number, we have toll-free tech support and customer service. It's 800-722-3393. And if you have questions, problems, or even suggestions, email them to support@humanware.com. I personally do some tech support, and you may get me on the phone. And if so, I'm sorry. but definitely shoot us an email, give us a call if you have any issues or questions.
Greg, thanks so much for putting up with our wonderful audio technical issues, but thanks for telling us about everything new with HumanWare.
No, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, JJ, and to talk to Blind Bargains. So thanks again.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.